Good morning, church. So the Greek philosopher Heraclitus, anyone? He said, good character is not formed in a week or a month. It is created little by little, day by day, protracted, and patient effort is needed to develop a good character. The Greek philosopher Aristotle said, character makes people who they are. The Austrian philosopher and bodybuilder Arnold Schwarzenegger, should I do the voice? Should I do the accent? I have to now. Yeah, okay. Said, the resistance you fight physically in the gym and the resistance you fight in life can only build a strong character. Thank you. I don't know if that deserved applause, but thank you. I'll take it. I will take it. Can you tell I was a philosophy major? Let's get a little closer to what we know. Billy Graham, you've heard of him. Great preacher. He said, the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a character or a legacy of character and faith. The best thing you can give your children is a legacy of character and faith. Today, we are going to talk about creating a legacy of character and faith. We're going to talk about our character this morning. Now, Stephen Covey gives us a helpful definition of what character is. He says this, our character is basically a composite of our habits, okay? Our character is basically a composite of our habits because they are consistent, often unconscious patterns. They constantly, daily express our character. What is your character? It is all your habits. What are all your habits? That's your character. In August, we had a sermon series on how the spiritual disciplines shape our Christian character. Anyone remember this sermon series? It was just August. Anyone remember this? All right, the pop quiz this morning. We invested 5 weeks into talking about the good habits of prayer, worship, service, studying the Bible, and simplicity. I have heard throughout my life that it takes 40 days to create a new habit. Maybe. A recent scientific study says, actually, it takes 66 days to start a new habit and to keep it. Well, it's been more than 66 days since we began that sermon series on prayer, on worship, on service, on reading the Bible, on simplicity. How you doing? No guilt trip this morning. No guilt trip this morning. I'm genuinely curious. If you made a commitment in the last couple months towards reading the Bible every day, or prayer every day, or coming to worship every Sunday, even if the Seahawks are playing on a Sunday morning, you should be experiencing changes in your life by now. Those habits should be changing your character for the better by now. If you give God a little bit of your time, a little bit of your effort each and every day, it's amazing how God will change your life. He will change your habits. He will change your character so that slowly but surely you will be more and more like his son, Jesus Christ. Okay? There's a fancy Christian word for this. It's called sanctification. You know that word? It means slowly God takes sinners like us and turns us into saints. I know that's a fancy word, but basically, every Christian you know is a sinner, and God's turning them into a saint. They got to participate in that process. Sanctification. Today's scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 17 through 25, offers us a contrast in characters. Two different people, two different sets of habits. First is King Saul. And King Saul has a bad habit of attacking other people. Saul's foolish choices are taking a toll on his family and on the kingdom. On the other hand, David has developed a good habit of offering mercy to the person he shouldn't be offering mercy to in the world of power politics. David's wise choices, merciful choices, loving choices are preparing him to be a good leader when he finally gets the throne, when he finally gets the crown. Hear the good news that the good habits that God creates in you will sustain you in the most difficult moments of your life by giving you a character that is strong and an imitation of Jesus. From 1 Samuel chapter 26. Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" David replied, "Yes, it is, my lord the king." And he added, "Why is my lord pursuing his servant? What have I done? And what wrong am I guilty of? Now, let my lord the king listen to his servant's words. If the Lord has incited you against me, then may he accept an offering. If, however, people have done it, may they be cursed before the Lord. They have driven me today from my share in the Lord's inheritance and have said, 'Go serve other gods.' Now, do not let my blood fall to the ground far from the presence of the Lord. The king of Israel has come out to look for a flea, as one hunts a partridge in the mountains." Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Come back, David, my son, because you considered my life precious today. I will not try to harm you again. Surely I have acted like a fool and have been terribly wrong." "Here's the king's spear," David answered. "Let one of your young men come over and get it. The Lord rewards everyone for their righteousness and faithfulness. The Lord delivered you into my hands today. But I would not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. As surely as I valued your life today, so may the Lord value my life and deliver me from all trouble." Then Saul said to David, "May you be blessed, David, my son. You will do great things and surely triumph." So David went on his way, and Saul returned home. God's word. So King Saul had a bad habit of throwing spears at his family members, okay? It's a bad habit. You got to kick that habit. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, we preached on this a couple weeks ago, Saul threw his spear at his son-in-law David 2 times. The king declared, "I'll pin David to the wall." Saul tried it again in chapter 19. Saul tried to pin him to the wall with his spear, but David eluded him as Saul drove the spear into the wall. Saul's bad habit only gets worse. Eventually, he starts going after his own flesh and blood. In chapter 20 of 1 Samuel, Jonathan starts asking his father, the king, questions, saying, "Why should David be put to death? What has he done?" King Saul responded by hurling his spear at his own son, Jonathan. For those of you keeping score, that's 4 times the spear, the same spear in today's story, is thrown at family members. Don't you think someone should take this spear away from this guy? Don't you say, isn't it time for an intervention? Let's take that spear away, shall we? Now, Saul had a problem with anger management. You think? Saul had a problem with impulsive behavior. You think? Saul's troubled character threatened David and Jonathan and the entire kingdom of Israel. These were more than just isolated moral failures. They were a sinful pattern. They were a sinful habit again and again and again. 4 times. This is a bad habit. In today's scripture, Saul confesses that he has sinned against David, and he promises he's never going to do it again, right? Have we heard this before from him? Saul swore an oath before God. Was it chapter 19 or 18? I forget. One of those chapters. He swore an oath before God he would never do it again. Where are we? He's hunting David out in the wilderness. Saul's character never changed because he never addressed the fact that he had some bad habits that needed to get fixed. Have you ever tried to break a bad habit? I am not talking about the trivial things, the inconsequential things like chewing your fingernails or burping at the dinner table. That might be gross, but it's not morally wrong. It's just, it's gross. Lying. Seldom is it just one lie, right? It's usually a pattern of lying that keeps happening again and again and again. Gossip. Seldom is gossip a single act, right? Usually it's a pattern of talking about people behind their backs. Pornography. Seldom a single act of sin. It's usually a pattern that keeps happening again and again and again. And you can apologize until you're blue in the face, and you can be sincere, and you can be remorseful, and it's going to happen again. Why? It's going to happen again because we never deal with the patterns. What provoked me to do this? Why do I need to keep on acting this way again and again? Now, Saul, we know from earlier in the story that he was filled with this angry and hateful and fearful spirit, but Jesus has given us a different spirit. Amen? Jesus has given us God's Holy Spirit. This is a spirit of peace. This is a spirit of joy. This is a spirit of love. Amen? That's the mark of God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God working in your life. And while you may lack the self-discipline to change your own bad habits, the Holy Spirit empowers you to transform your life with the power of God. You don't have to keep on making the same mistake over and over again. I'm not promising that you're going to be perfect. I'm not promising you're going to be without sin for the rest of your life. I'm saying you can be different. I'm saying God's power is for real in changing your life for the better today. Okay? Change starts with repentance. The word repentance we don't use as much as we used to. We should. Here at Bethany Covenant Church, we always, on Communion Sundays, we always want to encourage you to repent before you come to this table, to apologize to God. And maybe friends in the church that you might have hurt this week or this month. But I want to do something different today. Instead of just apologizing to God for where you were wrong this week or where you were wrong this month since the last time we went to the table, I want you to pay attention during the rest of my sermon. It's okay, you can be a little distracted as I'm preaching the rest of it. And I want you to think about what are the bad habits in your life, not your fingernails, not the burping. What are the bad patterns that keep on repeating themselves month after month, year after year? What do you have to keep on apologizing to God for? Look, friends, we are creatures of habit. And if you want your character to be different, you need to address the habits that form your character. Pay attention to those things. What have you been apologizing to God for year after year now? Do you believe that God has the power to change you? I do. I'm not promising perfection. I'm not promising you're going to get it all fixed today. I am saying you can start going down the road that brings you closer to God's Son, Jesus Christ, and His character on your character. Friends, every Christian is just a sinner who's being transformed into a saint. The simple idea is that God's Holy Spirit will make you better if you repent and turn away from sin. Let's talk about David now. We've talked about Saul. Let's talk about David. He's got this strange habit of offering mercy. What that means, he's got a strange character of offering mercy. How many spears, or how many times was this spear thrown at David? Three times. Once at his buddy Jonathan. Okay. He's turned the other cheek three times. Four, if you count turning it for his best friend Jonathan. David's not a wimp. This is the guy that killed Goliath. This is the guy that kicked the Philistines out of Israel. He's got really good aim. He got the giant right there in the forehead. You think he could have picked up that spear and thrown it back at the king? Would anyone have blamed him? You think he couldn't have solved this a little earlier? I think he could. He's not a wimp. Saul killed his thousands. David killed his tens of thousands. David was more than capable of defending himself against the abusive behavior of King Saul. And yet, David demonstrates this unusual habit, this unusual character of offering mercy to the one who wanted to destroy him. 1 Samuel 24. I wanted to tell the story too today. We don't have enough time to get all the good stories in David. Oh, are you reading along? I did ask. Are you reading along with 1 Samuel? It's not too late. Read along. It's a wonderful story. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, we read the story of how Saul accidentally walked into a cave that was occupied by David's soldiers. If you read the story, you know that he was in a very vulnerable position in that cave. That's all I'll say about that. And David crept up behind Saul, and he had a golden opportunity to stab the king in the back. Instead of hurting Saul, David just cut off a little corner of his robe. Even for that small transgression, David feels sick to his stomach. The Bible says he's conscience stricken for just cutting off a little bit of the king's robe. David told his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed." David then confessed to the king. He said, "Hey, look, does this look familiar? Look at your robe. Look at this." He said, "I cut off the corner of your robe, but I did not kill you. See, there's nothing in my hand to indicate that I am guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion." Does this sound familiar? There's a lot of repetition in 1 Samuel. A lot of spears being thrown. A lot of opportunities for David to kill Saul. Why? It's about habits. It's about character. Okay? It's a character study. In today's scripture, we just heard that David and his servant Abishai sneak up to King Saul's campsite in the middle of the night. They find the king asleep. Where's the spear? It's right next to his head. Everyone's sleeping. The king is vulnerable. Oh, it would have been so easy. What does Abishai say? He says, let me have the spear and I'll pin him to the ground. Where have we heard this language before? Every time Saul tried to kill David, he's trying to pin him to the wall. Oh, this is just desserts, isn't it? This is poetic justice, isn't it? No, David forbids it. David says, "Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" So they grab the royal spear. And again, I think an intervention is appropriate here. They grab the royal spear and a water jug to show King Saul they had every opportunity to take his life, and they didn't. They showed mercy. What this is demonstrating, this repetition, is that David has developed a habit of mercy, which means he's developed a character of mercy. And that will serve him very well when he is the king of Israel. Now, there is a practical side to David's mercy. We got to be clear about that. someday David is going to be king, and David wants his royal subjects to be loyal subjects. David wants to avoid these kinds of sneak attacks and these spears to the back, demonstrating to his soldiers how he wants to be treated when he wears the crown, when he sits on the throne. David is not just practicing good behavior, good habits, good character for his own self. He is creating culture in Israel. This is how we behave here. This is what we act like here. These are our habits. This is our character in Israel. Now, 2,000 years later, the people of Israel were still looking for another king like David. Oh, we want a king like that. A king with that kind of character. A king with that kind of a habit. We know that Jesus was the long-awaited heir to David's throne. And Jesus, he preached about the habits of highly effective Christians who belong to the kingdom of God. And what does he say? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about turning the other cheek. Who likes that sermon, by the way? Ooh. Turning the other cheek and loving your enemy as you love yourself. Wow. And the meek inheriting the earth. And while we routinely dismiss the Sermon on the Mount as something that's unrealistic for this world that we live in, pay attention to David. Doesn't he do exactly those things? Doesn't he turn the other cheek? Doesn't he love his enemy? Isn't he the meek who inherits the earth? We dismiss this stuff saying, well, we can't live this way. It's not realistic. This tough guy soldier did. And he became king because of it. Sometimes we feel like good character is impractical. I say that's only when we forget who Jesus has called us to be. And we take a shortcut instead of doing what we know to be right. My friends, you don't have to let someone's bad habits ruin your good habits. You don't have to let someone's bad character ruin your good character. You cannot control how other people treat you, but you can control how you will respond. If your father-in-law criticizes you unfairly, and I only say father-in-law because Saul was David's father-in-law. If your father-in-law criticizes you unfairly, you can still respond with kindness, right? If your friend lets you down, you can still respond with grace and forgiveness, right? When you're driving home today from church, and you encounter someone with road rage, and they communicate with you using sign language, you do not have to escalate the situation with your own anger, with your own rage. Don't lose your Christian character in the stressful moments of your life, especially if you've got that fish on your bumper sticker, especially then. Especially then, you're making a commitment to Jesus that you're going to drive like a Christian. Okay, so don't. Yeah. Don't let your character get ruined by the bad character of others. I'm not suggesting that you tolerate abuse, by the way. If someone is abusing you, I want to encourage you to get help. Get help, please. Get help. If someone is abusing you, get help. Notice, David did not accept King Saul's suspicious invitation to come home with him. I've been trying to kill you. Why don't you come home with me? Does he say yes? No! No, he doesn't. David gives back Saul's stolen spear, but he will not allow himself to be a target again. David goes and lives with the Philistines. Remember them? His sworn enemies? He killed Goliath. He would rather live with Goliath's friends and relatives than to go and be a target for King Saul's spear once again. This is a great lesson in boundaries. Boundaries. He leaves. It's the only thing he could do. But he finds this creative way, right, to preserve his life and to preserve his character. Usually there's a creative solution for both. It's now time to head to the communion table. First, I want us to repent of our sins. No perfect people in this room. Let us repent of our sins, and not just the mistakes of last week or the mistakes of last month. I want you to repent of the bad patterns that habitually keep you from being like Jesus Christ. This communion table, it is the solution for your sin. This is where you get that grace you've been looking for. But it's not just that. This is about the future too. This table is about being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Focus on your habits this morning, your character this morning, okay? This is a whole life question. And number two, ask God to change your heart. Lying, gossip, pornography, road rage, every other sin you could think of is just a misguided attempt to satisfy some genuine human desire. Instead of indulging something that you know to be wrong, ask God for a healthier desire. God created you. God knows what you long for. God also has a healthier way for you to live. Ask Him for it. The Holy Spirit will honor you with healthy desires, better desires. Ask God for good habits so that your character slowly and surely resembles the character of Jesus Christ. Remember, here's the promise. God is going to put the character of Jesus on top of you. And that means you change. Let us be changed people. Amen.